physical education research. This is episode 62 and focuses on Gay Timkin and colleagues' pedagogical case about Teresa. This is an audio version of the Pepin blog that can be found at www.peprn.com/news.aspx. Making educational decisions based on preconceptions. The previous podcast explored the pedagogical case of Duchesne, whose life and the conflicting things he witnessed on a daily basis had a big influence on his physical activity potential. We found a boy who was loved and supported by his family and church, but who also experienced crime and violence on a daily basis. We learned that his position as a poor black male had implications in what he could and couldn't do, as did his impoverished upbringing. Trust, achievable goals and role models were three potential ways of making things better. This week's podcast explores the pedagogical case of Teresa. She is an 11-year-old daughter of legal Mexican immigrants. She is responsible for caring for her younger siblings while also being challenged by learning English as her new language. She knows that some of her teachers see her and her friends as a burden and a drain on the education system and feels that her needs are not being met. In fact, she knows that she is not valued, and this is impacting on her approach to school. Teresa. Teresa is the 11-year-old daughter of a Mexican family who, through sponsorship and savings, have come north to legally build a life in the United States. She lives in a mobile home with her extended family and has responsibilities, as the eldest child, for her younger siblings when everyone else is at work. She's still learning English and, while she is said to be picking it up really fast, this is an obstacle to her education. Teresa's biggest obstacles, however, seem to be her teachers, not all of them, and their attitudes and preconceptions about her people. The curriculum is also a barrier in subjects like history, where the curriculum is white-focused and almost ignorant of the impact of migrants, and physical education, where the sports and activities remain the same, and elite athletes have, get, and have kept priority and preferential treatment. Her position as a Latino girl seems to count against her. Her people are seen as a drain on the education system. They are assumed to be here illegally, and they are branded in a number of unsubstantiated ways. That said, the curriculum and the physical education class routine doesn't seem to inspire any of the girls. She can predict the lesson before arriving. Read the whiteboard, run some laps, stretch, do the same drills that haven't improved the basketball skills once, and then watch the boys play with such aggression that none of the lazy and slow girls want to join in. Teresa knows how to look like she's taking part, look active when teachers are looking, and stay near the back of the line to avoid layups. But she also knows that she is seen as a Latino and therefore not sporty. Ironically, given the way her teachers perceive her, Teresa likes being physically active, but the choice of activity, more what the guys like, and the inaccessibility of extracurricular activities due to its position as elite and her role within the family mean that she isn't active. She's determined to do well in school, and some of her teachers are very supportive of this, but it doesn't look like everyone will actively support her to go to college or be physically active. Let's look at the pedagogical case in more detail. Timkin and colleagues explore Teresa's pedagogical case from a number of perspectives: English language learner, multicultural competence, and sport and exercise psychology, before amalgamating these and viewing them through a pedagogical lens. Learning a new language is difficult, as there is both proficiency and specific content knowledge, which in the case of physical education means concepts and skills, to master. While much focus has been placed on mastery, other researchers looked at the factors that impact language learning in an effort to understand why learners with the same exposure to language learn at different rates and in different ways. One idea that has gained significance is that of the affective filter, which suggests that low self-esteem, anxiety, and other stressors may impact on how much of the language heard is actually processed. From Teresa's perspective, leaving home, the anxieties and responsibilities of her home life, her knowledge about the way her teachers view her and her people, and so on, could act as a barrier to her development. Therefore, teachers need to be more aware and sympathetic to these affective stressors and create a safe place for students to talk and develop with them when they are at school. Her position as immigrant youth places different stresses on Teresa and different responsibilities on her teachers. Anyone who engages with her, especially from the perspective of this chapter, needs awareness of her needs and should position Teresa as someone whose differences are valuable and important. Furthermore, they need to gain knowledge concerning diverse cultures, which includes understanding about privilege and oppression. Teachers also need the skill to work with and in diverse cultures and settings. Fundamentally, when a teacher's multicultural competence is high, then students feel that they have worth and matter. Timken and colleagues stress the importance of the notion of mattering and define it as believing that we count in others' lives and make a difference to them. While in a few cases Teresa seems to matter, in many others she doesn't, both as a Latina and as a girl, but most importantly as a Latina girl. Teresa already knows that she doesn't matter. She's overheard teachers talking about her kind and has seen her teachers ignore her lack of engagement in physical education and the bullying behaviour of others, and feels that she doesn't matter. Yet the small things that the teachers do are important, as they underscore the students' perceptions that they matter. From a sport and exercise psychology perspective, the organisation of subject content, class structure and teachers' attitudes all serve to influence Teresa's level of engagement and likelihood of reaching her full potential. Drawing on self-determination theory, Timken and colleagues suggest that Teresa would be likely to have low perceived competence, again fueled by the actions or inactions of her teachers. A feeling of having no autonomy when it comes to the curriculum in physical education, accompanied by little or no rationale from the teacher as to the choice of a particular activity, leave her feeling helpless. Such a lack of autonomy also leads to a lack of relatedness with regards to the curriculum. Put more simply, the current offering in physical education means that Teresa feels she isn't very good, has no choice in what she does, and feels that she is forced to do something that has no bearing, potential or otherwise, on her future. The only positive side of her physical education experiences is that she can enjoy the company of her friends. Fundamentally, and as Timken and colleagues conclude, teaching, as a pedagogical endeavour, is about care, both as a human endeavour and as an acronym. Teachers who care for and about their students do make a difference, and those relationships provide the foundations for academic success, in part because the student's effective filter is thereby lowered. From the student's perspective, they want to feel competent. They enjoy the opportunities provided by autonomy, thrive when relationships matter because they are connected to peers and adults, and they want to experience enjoyment because they are interested and challenged by what they do. In other words, they want to care, and they want others to as well. I know that anyone who listens to this podcast already cares, but I wonder how we can help others to, or how we can care more. Do we afford students the opportunities we aspire to, or are we constrained by tradition and expectations? Research and common sense say that we should care, but how can we convince the world that caring doesn't always align with winning? So in concluding, how does this discussion relate to you, your lessons and your context? Did it make you think or consider something? I'd love to hear your thoughts, and so would others, so please share at www.peprn.com/news.aspx. Thanks for listening, and join me next week for the next Pepin podcast, where I will discuss Jean Côté and colleagues' pedagogical case about Rob. Acknowledgements. I would like to thank Vicky Goodyear for her work behind the scene as copy editor. Her help certainly forms a vital part of the production of this blog and getting it out on time and in a semblance of coherence. However, it is important to note that any mistakes that remain are mine. Thank you.